Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. When English guitarist, songwriter and singer Ted Turner, best known for his work with the 1970s rock band Wishbone Ash, first encountered English singer, songwriter and actor Magella in 2005, neither of them imagined that their initial friendship, born out of admiration for each other's professional abilities and unique musical styles, would one day result in a union that would not only culminate in marriage, but also in the birth of a brand new musical genre that fans have been quick to label New Age Soul. Tonight, Ted Turner and Magella join me to discuss their individual and collective journeys, what Ted learned from John Lennon and Buckminster Fuller, and how their passion for the planet, for animals, for humanity, and for each other inspires them in their daily lives and in the creation of their music, some of which we'll be sampling during the show. Ted Turner and Magella, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you, Sandy. Nice to be here with you.
Good to have you both. Ted Turner, if I might start with you, now that men have got equality. You found music and fame at a very young age. You taught yourself to play the guitar in your teens. You became a member of the 1970s rock band Wishbone Ash. And then you were invited to play on John Lennon's iconic album Imagine. Still, while hardly out of the cradle, what was that like for you to have so much success so young and then to be asked to play alongside such exalted company on such an iconic album?
Of course, yes. It was such an exciting time to be involved with music, Sandy. I was born in 1950, so the excitement of going through Beatlemania, you know, I was at the perfect age, 63. I was 13 years old, a teenager, and the Beatles and how exciting it all was. And if you look back in hindsight, that old period, the 60s, the 70s, there was still a mystery somewhat to music. And it was a musical explosion, such an adventure. So it was. I didn't know at that point that I'd even be involved with music. So then to actually be a guitar player, which became relatively successful, it was just an amazing experience. It took me around the world. It taught me so much in so many ways.
And then the John Lennon.
The actual experience of John Lennon, of course.
Yeah.
We were actually, the story there was we were actually recording our second album, the Wishbone album, at the Beatles studio in London. And we'd been working all day, about 11 o'clock at night. We're packing up the suitcases, guitar cases, and I get a phone call for a session. And I'm thinking that this would be sometime in the future, but they actually wanted me right away. And I'm saying, well, I'm kind of tired, you know, who's it for? And it's, hey, this is for John Lennon. Oh, okay, I'll be right over. Anyway, cut a long story short, I'm out there and I'm playing, George Harrison was on this session. So I'm in the studio playing on a couple of tracks with, you know, my heroes. It was just an unbelievable, almost surreal experience. But the special part that I had no way of knowing, this was the last track, the album being completed. So we all got to go back into the studio and hear Imagine back in its entirety for the first time. So we're all just sitting around drinking cups of tea and eating biscuits. It was just what a amazing experience.
Wow, what an amazing experience. Magella, you're a singer and a songwriter, and you began creating as a very young child. By your early teens, you were showcasing your songwriting skills around the UK, performing at the famed Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London. It says in your bio that your rich ancestral Celtic roots have always been a driving force in the composition of evocative songs that tell stories. How easily do writing poetry and song lyrics come to you?
Well, Sandy, what I would say is that I think writing poetry and songs is easier than just simply conversing, talking. That
You
might
maybe.
sound unusual from somebody who's trained as an actor, who has been a teacher for 13 years of her life. But I think this is primarily because I feel most myself when I'm doing this. So
Does
when
it
I'm
just
writing
flow
a,
through you?
yes, that's exactly what happens. I don't really have any say. I try to interfere here and there and say, oh, it's going to be about this. But usually, as these ideas are coming through me, it just it is like a channeling. And it's a very strange experience. Quite often I'll get an idea and I might question it in the moment, but then I interrupt myself and say, no, go with it, because this is what is being asked to be said. And I think that, you know, I really see the whole process of creating as a very, it's a sacred process. And the ideas, I'm collaborating with something bigger than me. That's what I do
say.
Know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you know who is asking you, you know, to allow this to flow through you?
Well, I mean, I call it God. For me, what is God? It's not a man in the sky. It's and that's, again, coming from an ex-Catholic. It's not that I've turned my back on Catholicism. It's just simply that when I'm in nature, that's when God makes sense. So the time that I spend in the most natural place is what helps me weave my stories. It's like my guide, if you like, my spiritual guide. And it's an experience that just continues to take me deeper and deeper into myself. And I don't know, that's what the point of life is for me. And creating is my way of being able to express myself. As a child, I was actually painfully shy at school. I was a bit of a madam at home, but that was me making up for it, I think, for being so quiet around my peers. And so, you know, the moment that I discovered I could sing, It was like an epiphany, and it was, as a child, I can remember feeling and thinking, thank God, because this is a way that I can be me.
Ted Turner, you were attracted to music at a very early age. Would you say that for you, playing guitar, performing music is a spiritual experience?
Absolutely, Sandy. Those are the moments when there's nothing in the way. I'm just in touch with Source. I've heard people comment that when they actually watch me play, it's as if I'm bringing it's coming out through my stomach or something, the way my actions, you know, when I play guitar. I just go into another world, really. It's difficult to explain, but it's just a connection, yeah, a very deep connection.
Magella, you said that you're an actor, you trained in drama, and you've combined your love of music and theatre. You've written, directed and performed in a series of popular and original musical plays which explored the gritty reality of the community in which you lived. You also began teaching and leading workshops in schools and established a theatre and education company. I read that you have said about that period that educating children not only defined you as a person, but also as an artist. Tell us about that.
Well, I don't think there is anything more powerful for me than working with young minds. In fact, I really missed this since moving away from education. But what I learned during that time, those 13 years, is that we can always be connected to our own inner child. And I found that through working with these young people, their biggest obstacle was to believe in themselves, to be happy in their own skin, to do what they felt they were driven to do with their life, and to actually, my mother would call it the doubting Thomas, to quieten the doubting Thomas, that voice that says you can't, or you're not good enough, or who do you think you are. And of course, you know, when you're teaching, I believe you're teaching what is there for you to be learnt, what's there as an obstacle to yourself. So despite the fact that I was able to bring that to them, the honest truth was that I was still struggling. I was forever being shown that there's a way out. There's a way to find your own voice. There is a way to just be sincerely who you are and actually move forward in your life and achieve everything that you wish to achieve. And during this time, I obviously wrote plays and I performed with these youngsters alongside them. And by the time I was leaving the profession, they were turning around saying to me, it's your time now, miss. It's you've done everything you could for us. And I can honestly hand on my heart say that I did. I really did adopt those children. If I'm to be really honest, I think that I neglected my own need to face my own demons during that time. So going through that process, being a teacher, led me to, again, going deeper within myself, but also being more courageous. That's basically what I was teaching. I could have been teaching any subject. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I was terrible at maths. Maths was not my strength at school. Finally, I was put in front of a teacher that could assist me in believing that you don't have to be the best at maths. Just know that it's worth the effort. It's worth making the effort. And that's the way I used to teach. It was never about an end result. It was always about the process, the journey. Of course, that was the ultimate lesson for me.
Ted Turner, after extensive touring with Wishbone Ash, you left the band in 1975 to pursue a personal pilgrimage. And you were drawn to the work of Buckminster Fuller. And you became involved in the World Man Band, an initiative designed to raise global consciousness through rock music. There's a song on your new album, Better Together, a track called In Stairs, which pays homage to the innovative works of Fuller. Tell us about that.
Well, when I became aware of, someone gave me a book, essentially, and I wrote this book. What I did, I left Wishbone Ash because, as you said, I did have a lot of success there, but I was still a very young man. I left when I was 23 years old, and I became a bit frustrated, really, because the music was going in different directions, and the intensity of working, you know, in a rock band and the rock music with the shadow elements, a sordid sort of lifestyle that goes on with all of that. And I thought, well, there's got to be more to life than this. And I really was seeking a spiritual connection. This was the age of, as I said, the 70s, and we're all looking self-awareness and everything else. And I came across this book, and it really resonated with me. He was such an amazing person. He started in 1927. He wanted to discover what an unknown money class individual might be able to do effectively for all humanity that would be impossible to accomplish, you know, by great nations, great religions, or private enterprise, whatever. And what can an average human individual do for the benefit of humanity? And so for almost the next 60 years, he devoted his whole life creating artifacts. The most famous being the geodesic dome, which you may be aware of. Mm-hmm. And he was so far ahead of his time, and still his designs now, they're just, even now, just coming, they're catching up to speed, as it were, which he discovered, say, 50 years earlier. So he was such an inspirational figure, and he gave me a picture of the universe, such a marvelous picture of the, you know, the magic, this exquisite design of nature and the universe, and our part within it. Really, it was such a large scope that, as a quote I say, it's good to feel small. That gives you such a perspective that we're sort of lost, really. We're humans that I think that we're in control of this planet and of nature, and which is absurd, of course. And so that really had a huge impact upon me. You know, his science was just astounding. As the best teacher I've ever met. He came up with terms like spaceship Earth to get through to us of this, you know, the ship we're living on. Would you, if you were out in space, would you put smoke in your air system? Of course you wouldn't. Why would you damage, you know, your ship? It's such a sensitive thing.
I'm going to interrupt you for a moment.
Yeah, go
here.
Ahead.
I want to come back to Buckminster Fuller, who's one of mm-hmm. my heroes too, a little bit later. But what I want to do before we go to break is play a small sample from the title track from your album, Better Together.
Okay.
We're going to do that right now.
Okay, sounds good.
Shining sunlight, being cruel to be kind.
I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest tonight, a former Wishbone Ash guitarist, Ted Turner, and his wife and musical partner, Magella. We're talking about their newly released album, Better Together, and their dedication to using their music to promote positive messages. We'll be back with more talk and music from Ted Turner and Magella after this break.
Future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome Welcome back, Ted Turner. We will return to Buckminster Fuller in a moment, but first I'd like to ask Majella, all 12 songs on this album were inspired by your 13-year journey as first friends, then lovers, and now as husband and wife collaborators. There are some deeply spiritual messages on this album. I mean, for instance, on your track Inside You, you say that that reflects the teachings of Yogi Bhajan on Siva. Blessed are those that serve others. They are the ones that bring heaven to earth. Is spirituality something that runs through your entire lives? Did you plan for this to be a deeply inspirational album, or did it just turn out that way?
Well, I have always been a deep person. As a child, you know, my mother would constantly say, lighten up. And I got what she was saying, and she still says it to me. But ultimately, for me, life is about, I am a true seeker. And I'm interested. It's no surprise that I became a teacher for a period, because I'm interested in any way in which that we can evolve. And so we have to go inside, we have to go within to understand who we truly are. You know, we spend so much of our life going outside and listening to what others have got to say in particular, and then believing what others have to say. And really, the voice that we should be listening to is our own inner voice. So, yes, everything I do is I tend to go within and ask spirit, ask for spirit's guidance, because quite often I don't know what is the best. And this is the reality that I've reached the point now in my life where I'm prepared to accept this. And actually, I feel like every time I have this realization, I'm let out of prison, because I know that there are answers that I haven't even thought about. I may have felt the answer. John Lennon says, doesn't he, that love is the answer. What's the question? Mm-hmm. And, you know, ultimately, I know that the whole album for me is a journey back to love, a journey back to self-love in particular. What's the point in life? The point of life is to get out of the way. Get out of the way. So a higher intelligence, which I believe is emotionally inclined. That's, I think, why I was drawn to be a drama teacher, because if we can master our emotions, if we can make friends with our emotions and not categorize them and say this is right and this is wrong, and we can understand that we're just, you know, we're just a combination of everything, you know, then we are set free. We are set free, and you know, it is a journey about our love and our connection, but it's also, this album is also about our connection with, you know, Rumi speaks of the beloved, and, you know, every time, every relationship hits its challenges, and whenever we experience our own personal challenges, which actually have usually got nothing to do with our connection, they're to do with our own stories. But I always go back to spirit and say, okay, what am I not understanding here? What clarity can you provide? Because I know that if I feel connected to something bigger, I'm a better wife, I'm a better teacher, I'm a better singer, I'm a better friend, I'm a better auntie, I'm a better daughter, I'm just better. Mm. And there you go, Better Together about that connection where we're the universal oneness, and it's just such a wonderful notion when you find those moments and you really believe it, you can just relax. It's just wonderful.
We can do so much more together, can't we? Ted Turner, I was struck by the message of your song, Time to Fall Away, which reminds us that the way water and land coexist is being disrupted. And that seems especially poignant and prescient given the awful water crisis that's now facing South Africa. Tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, obviously it's talking about the honouring of our water planet. What is it, 70% water on our planet? We ourselves are 70% water. We all feel the pull every full moon. But the crisis of ignorance, it may prevail, but nature will always have the final say. And it's our own inner turmoil that causes such outer destruction and damage to Mother Earth. And the way in which the land and the water coexist is being disrupted, and this disregard of the natural connection may result in our own ultimate peril. Can we cooperate? Do we have time? Can we talk honestly? And that's really the idea of the song.
Magella.
Yeah, I think it's a very, I'm sort of stuck for words right now as I think about this.
Did you want to?
Well, what I would add to this, if I can just add something here, Sandy, is, you know, the title itself is saying Time to Fall Away. Well, when do we feel most natural? It's when we're not preoccupied with what's gone and we're not worrying about what's to come. We're just here in the moment. And, you know, this is the powerful point of change. It seems so elusive because, you know, when our mind takes over, and our mind isn't listening to our soul, which I call the higher self, we're not present. So the song is also saying we're, as the musicality comes across, we're at a point of real vulnerability, all of us, because we're just a mirror of the planet. And so we have to wake up. There is no choice. And I really do sincerely believe that we are all waking up at different rates, which also connects to the title, Time to Fall Away, to allow that. But if you know that you are in a place of awakening and there is something that is calling for you to do, do it. Get on with it. Because this is what we're being asked to do. We're being asked to be present. And I know that the moments where I have felt most present is when I'm absolutely in connection with this beautiful planet. And the planet is often spoken about in its majesty and its magnificence and the vastness of the planet. But you just go outside and stand on the grass. Feel, close your eyes and feel a little creature land on your hand. You know, that is as vast as you really need to feel it, to know that you are connected and to know that what you have to, every single one of us has something really important to contribute. And so Time to Fall Away, that's when you are at your most powerful. Now, in the now.
Ted Turner.
I mean, the Carmony. Perspective of our ocean, Sandy, as a human being, we may look at this vast ocean being like 5 miles deep at its deepest point or something. But if it was a frozen 12-inch steel ball and you breathed upon it, the condensation of that on the steel ball would be deeper than our oceans. That's how fragile it is.
Mm. Yes, you're absolutely right. Ted, I want to ask you about Carmony, which is inspired by the legacy of John Lennon. You met John, I'm assuming, just that once. You
yes.
obviously had a wonderful experience playing.
Yeah.
But clearly that made a big impact on you, and he made a big impact on you. So what is it about the legacy of John Lennon that inspired Carmony?
Well, he was speaking his truth. He did, you know, he was just going to do it no matter what. That those times, he had so much resistance against him at that time. When he broke away from the Beatles, no one really wanted to hear it, what he was saying. But he was so beautiful, the simplicity of his song, the power of his songs. In fact, Fool on the Hill, he was also inspired by Bucky Fuller. They came into the Beatles, area. Fool on the Hill was, I don't know if you know that, but it was written about,
yes,
Bucky Fuller.
Yeah.
And so the global awareness, you know, doing something to serve, you know, and John was very much into that. He was all about peace, man. That's what he would say. Mm-hmm. You know, peace and love. Love is all you need. Imagine, look at the power of this, what a person can do, a song can do, a thought, the power of this. And that's how it all translates for me personally, even now, to use this power, the gift that we have. How can we use it? What is the purpose? You know, this is not based on an ego, you know, egotistical thing of fame or fortune. It's to do something with this gift. So he obviously acknowledged that and did that and brought that to the world. He changed the world. The Beatles changed the world.
They certainly did. Magella, the track called She, it says that, you know, somewhere I read that it explores the incomparable presence of the feminine, the goddess. What role does the goddess, the divine feminine, play in your life and your art?
Well, for me, you know, the goddess is obviously within us all, and we are, each of us, a fragile mix of the masculine and the feminine. But we live in a way that we are bombarded with images of the feminine. And on my own personal journey, you know, I don't think that I'm on my own here in saying that many of us, many women, have had quite a distorted perception of ourselves. We compare ourselves. That's why I really wanted to write a song that was stating that the goddess is incomparable. You know, it goes beyond form, it goes beyond title, it goes beyond name, it goes beyond gender. You know, this is something that comes from a much deeper place within us. As an artist, you know, during the course of my experience, you know, there have been many, many times where I have felt inadequate. My voice has been, you know, lethal, the voice within, in criticizing the way I look, and is it enough? Now, the reality, of course, is that I am who I am, and I know that within me, the only way I can be is to be natural. There are times where I fall out of this this place, but ultimately I have a deep understanding that I know that I can be most powerful when I am at my most natural self. And I will just add to this, because it was a profound moment for me in nature. I quite often just sit leaning against a tree or gazing or just daydreaming. And in the outdoors, and you know, I will admit to having conversations with trees and plants and tree and birds and whatever else crosses my path. And there's a tree in our garden that was recently cut down without me being aware. And once I saw the tree and its branches missing, I was devastated because to me, the image of the tree had gone. Now, when I sat communing with the tree, just being present, you know, I really, from within me, just felt, what are you talking about? The beauty is in the roots. The beauty is what you can't see. It's within. So, you know, within that song, I was trying to represent. That's why it's very choral and the vocals are very interwoven, because I was trying to represent many voices. Of course, that's my theatrical influences as well. But women coming together, the whole Me Too movement, that when we come together and we join forces, it's not that that is essential for us to realize that we're connected anyway. I'm speaking as you and you are speaking as me. And she is trying to get us to realize that the beauty, the real beauty, has nothing to do with superficiality. It has everything to do with being ourselves, being happy in our own skin and celebrating every line on our face, every curve on our body, because we are all of that. We are the maiden, we are the mother, we are the crone. Majestic. Forever, actually.
I'm going to stop you now because we need to go to a break shortly, and I just want to play a segment from another song before we do. And this track is called Love Life.
Holding you back, been repeating pattern from the past. Been denying what you need to be.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgemere, and I'm speaking with former Wishbone Ash rock band member and Rolling Stones top 20 guitarist Ted Turner and his wife and musical partner Magella about their first artistic collaboration, the Better Together album. We'll be back with more after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had
disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Ted Turner, I want to talk about a particularly painful time in your life. Indeed, devastating might be a more accurate description. When in 1994, you lost your 11-year-old son, Kip, in a hit-and-run accident. You later wrote the words to the song, I Found a Place, which is on this album, about that time and about your feelings since. I cannot imagine how one comes to terms with such an awful tragedy. I mean, does one ever find peace with it? Does one ever find forgiveness
you do,
for the person who was responsible?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you there, Sandy, but yes, you do. The song recounts, you know, a loss of the greatest kind. It was my son. Not only did I lose him, but I was there and I witnessed the death of this. So it was, you know, obviously traumatic. But through loss, you know, we begin a relationship with our own will to survive. And the hurt that you feel, it has to be felt fully before we can reach full acceptance and find, you know, the gift of an ending. The song does describe a place of spiritual connection and an understanding that we are only ever dying to another level of existence. So his body is gone, but he's still with me. I feel him. I had an amazing experience about a year ago or something where he really did come through me. His whole energy came through me, permeated me, and we held each other for a while. It's something that has never happened to me. I've never experienced that before and not since, but it was just a feeling of pure ecstasy where we connected. So I do still feel him around. So forgiveness really is about, I think, you know, being in the present. To not forgive would suggest that somehow you're holding to something in the past. And what a journey. I ask myself frequently, why? You know, why have I experienced that? What an incredible thing to feel. But it really has given me strength. I mean, not soon after that, I had to go through the death of my mother, and I've lost my father, and that. But that's the normal cycle of life, as it were. But these are energies anyway. That, you know, it's not you claim ownership of this. It's I'm privileged to have experienced and shared that life with him forever, ever long it was. I'm into astrology, and we've talked to people about it, and it was his time. You know, he had fulfilled his own life, his own destiny there. Some lights shine brighter than others.
Yes. And Magella, I mean, you weren't around at that time, but you had a very interesting experience with the words of this song as well. Will you tell us about that?
Well, I have always been drawn to this song. I think it's a really beautiful piece. And I found much healing through singing it myself. And ever since I arrived here in the valley in Arizona, after getting my hands on this song, so to speak, I just couldn't stop singing it. And the dramatist in me contemplated, well, how will we portray the messages of this song together? And I'd always imagined that I could perhaps step into the voice of Kip, that part of the song might be delivered. It might actually be a dialogue between father and son. But when it came to the point that we were recording the song, and the red button came on, and I can honestly say to you that this was a completely channeled moment. It wasn't a notion, a preconceived notion or a plan. I started to sing the song and began to realize as I was doing so that I was changing the context of the song and singing all of the words as Kip. You left me lying in the road. I was your only son. And the whole experience felt, I had nothing to do with it, absolutely nothing to do with it, other than being the rehearsal process and the absolute honouring of the quality of the writing. You know, that's how we begin as singers. Other people have written songs and we begin to sing their songs. And some people have a drive to write their own songs. So this was written from father to son, but I felt so compelled to be, I knew that there was something in this song to heal me also. And I think it's very much related to what Ted has just said to you about loss. In contrast, I have lost nobody dear to me, which I find very odd. And on one hand, really, really scary, because I'm turning 48 this year. And this is still ahead of me. This is life. And I really do feel that through singing this song, it has gifted some awareness back to me in preparation for the wisdom that is to be gained from letting go. And from going back to the previous song, Love Life, you know, honouring any time that you have. We can't go back, you know. In some respects, there is no hindsight. You know, what matters is that we just get present and realize that life is short. It's very, very short. And the point is to relish it, to relish every moment, to relish every step. And that's, I feel privileged to have sung that song. I know it won't always be that way. And I look forward to the point where Ted will sing this song. There's a timing, a divine timing to everything. But I feel really lucky to have had the privilege to be able to deliver those words and be a part of the journey. I wasn't there at the time, but in some way to be a part of my husband's healing.
I think it's appropriate, in light of what you've both said and the track that we've been talking about, to play a segment from the last piece that we have, which is called If You Believe. And the description that you've given me about that one is, it's about being authentic and walking your talk. We can always decide our response to anything we experience. And it's this knowledge that empowers us most. And I think you've given us a wonderful example of that, Ted, in how you've dealt with that loss. So let's play a segment from If You Believe now. We could hear more of it, but I know some of these songs are very long. Ted Turner, you've had a great many experiences that aren't common to everyone. Looking back on your journey to date, what are the most important things that you've learned?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to travel, see quite a bit of the world. And I realized there was a big lie. It's not about separation. It really is about, you know, collaboration. And everywhere I went, I realized that we're all the same. You know, we may speak different languages, but basically people are all doing the same thing. They just want to be loved. They want some food in their tummies and on a nice warm bed to go with at night. And that's really not what you grow up with. It's always, it can be this proliferation of like, oh, it's either them or us. And, you know, they could be a bit dodgy, something like that. But so really it's taught me that, you know, we are not separate. You know, everything has a relationship. We are nature. And systems only exist through collaboration. Otherwise, there is no life. And the power that we've got is to love and be kind to one another, to nature, to our animal friends, and to the planet. And success for all is not complicated when we're serving everyone.
Oh, great answer. Magella, I'll ask you a similar question. What have you learned on your journey?
Well, the first thing I have to say is I'm just constantly learning. I woke up this morning and the word imperfection was the first word that I heard. And in contrast, in total opposite, the duality of that is that there is a perfect order to life. And I do struggle with this at times because I have to say that I'm forever trying to overcome my own impatience. But I think that every event, everything that has happened in your life is taking you to this moment. And the moment, as I've already alluded to and said very clearly, is all we have. And so this is where you need to be in the moment. So it's about realizing that everything that's happened in your life is trying to direct you to your truest, bravest self, where you can be set free of patterns. We have all experienced conditioning in our own way. And if you can see the light in the shadow, a lot of the songs are about this. If you can let go, if you can accept the voice of faith and the voice of fear. I've recently been doing a course with Om Times, Overcoming Self-Sabotage, and it's been tremendously helpful. I think we're constantly learning. So what have I learned? To be open, to keep my heart open, to keep connected to this amazing energy all around me, and to know that I have got a place in the divine plan and to live it.
Ted Turner, in the last few minutes, I promised I would come back to the subject of Bucky Fuller. Is there anything else you want to say about that incredible man?
Yeah, well, just to the chorus of the last song there, Sandy, if you believe, is that if you believe and it comes from the heart, stay true to yourself right from the start. Give what you can in all that you do, mean what you say, and just see it through. And again, Bucky was such an inspiration to me, and that's why he was a comprehensivist, is one of his words. He would make up these words. He would call himself a comprehensive anticipatory design scientist. And you would go, what? But he would just, he had such a compassionate vision for the world. And it was his humility, his extraordinary, you know, integrity. That really inspired me as a human being. And as I said, he just devoted his life to service. And I that's what I'm trying to do in my own way through music. We mentioned John Lennon. You know, he taught us that the power of a song can influence the world. And in our small way, this is what we wish to do through our love. We really care about what goes on in our world. And in some small way, hopefully, we can make a difference.
Wow, that's great. Magella, I'm going to give the last word to you. I know that you and Ted are acutely aware that the planet is hurting, and together you intend to use your musical platform to raise awareness of this crisis, and as vegans to support a world based on compassion instead of cruelty. I understand that you've written a new song called A Voice Unheard, which you plan to donate to animal charities. Before we close, would you just like to say a few brief words about that?
Well, within our songwriting, we are devoted to giving a voice to causes, in particular animal welfare, where, of course, animals have a voice. I think it's ridiculous to assume that they don't. They have their place on this planet. This is their world also. But there's a tremendous imbalance in the way animals are being treated. And so music has a wonderful capacity to address that balance. And even though the lyrics themselves come from Ted, this is something that a cause that I'm completely behind. I feel it's important that...
I'm afraid we've got to leave it there, Magella. Ted Turner.
Okay.
Magella. Thank you so much.
Thank you
much
so
for
much, Sandy.
Yeah, thank you, Sandy. Blessings, darling.
For more
thank
information
you.
About Ted Turner and Magella, visit tedturnerandmagella.com, M-A-J-E-L-L-A, where you can listen to more samples from that album. That's it for tonight's show. I hope you'll join me at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.